Hello and welcome to Huel's Haberdash Time, as requested. Title, Work in Progress. My guest tonight is S. Greenwell, the S. Greenwell, mystery man, man of mystery. S. Greenwell, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, thank you. That's quite the intro. I do not know how mysterious I am, given that I'm one of the few people who has their complete name on there. I feel like I'm an open person. I have a lot of love to give, Huel.
That's great. Someone call it a full name, someone call it a first initial. So are we allowed to use your full name here?
Absolutely. You can call me Steve.
Steve Greenwell.
If anyone else joins us, we'll have to play it by ear.
Oh.
Is this a safe place?
Could that be a hint to a future guest?
Ooh.
No, just kidding.
I hope he has that cat on. Now that cat is just fantastic.
It's not just that cat. It's the legend, Man-Cat.
Oh, the cat. That's true.
From day one, I was there to see that legend unfold.
Oh, man. It's
a fucking hilarious bit.
Now you say bit, but I think the cat actually exists in life.
Well, I didn't mean bit as in all of it's fake.
Like this isn't the Ed.
No. Man-Cat is real.
Okay.
Let's not confuse things.
Okay.
I was not trying to imply that.
Yeah, she will strike you down. Now, has he ever gotten into
Hello?
That? Yeah, can you hear me?
You're cutting out a bit. I'm not sure if you're getting...
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, I just...
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me? Hold on, it's saying that...
I can barely hear you.
Let me go to text.
You got a text. What?
Send IM.
Your Skype sounds were going crazy. I could barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit. Yes, I can hear you. Were you sending me messages?
I just said...
Okay.
It said that Skype said that there's a connection issue.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was scary. You sounded haunted.
Oh, we should keep that in then. Oh, wait, it wouldn't get that from my end.
Well, I'm wondering, I think on your end... All right, full disclosure, I fucked up tonight, and Mr. Steven Greenwell actually has to record this. So maybe on your end, it actually recorded.
You know...
Maybe I was cutting out. Did you hear me the whole time?
I did hear you the entire time. You probably just didn't hear me.
Yeah, you were like, wow, like that crazy Skype sound.
Oh, now see, that means that was just a pleasure for your ears. It was like I was giving you a little tickle.
Yeah, it could be interpreted as a tickle.
But you know, it takes a brave man to admit when he's done wrong. Just as Damacek would say, the late great Jerry Orbach would say, "When you're wrong, you say you're wrong."
Yes. Are you saying you were wrong?
No. You said you were wrong. I would never admit something like that. Let's be clear.
Well, you're the one that sounded like a fucking robot dying. So.
A robot dying.
Let's not split hairs here.
So you mean I sounded like Daft Punk? Ha!
It was that weird Skype sound that everyone's heard.
It's a topical joke right there.
Oh, Daft Punk? Yeah.
That's hip. That's what the kids
like. I went through a big late 90s electronica movement.
Well, then.
And some say it continues today. But I was always a Chemical Brothers fan. I thought they were much better than Daft Punk.
You know, it's odd that you say that. My AIM screen name is Kembros 15, I think.
Oh, shit.
I know. I haven't logged on to it for, like,
Right, AOL Instant Messenger. Yeah,
probably since I was, like, 25.
I actually still use that. Everyone else seems to, like, just jump from message to message, but I still have a few friends on AIM that I talk to.
Oh, that's so quaint of you.
I'm a very antiquated person. For someone who actually works in software and computers and is supposed to actually help people in their latest technology, I'm way behind on most things.
Wow. Maybe we should have done this as a real-time chat on ICQ or...
Yeah. I never had ICQ.
Oh, you're missing out. A lot of Australians on there.
It was like ICQ... Yeah, oh, I guess I'm missing out on the Australian chat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but it was like ICQ versus AIM was like the big split back in the mid-90s.
Well, I had both. For some reason... ICQ was really big with people who played like online games competitively at that time.
Oh, okay.
Like
so, like nerds worse than me.
Pretty much. Like, I was in that category at that time. Back in the day, I played Quake competitively. I was very bad at it.
We had, when I was in eighth grade, like the end of middle school, or maybe it was even freshman year, it was like between eighth grade and ninth grade, like that awful period where no one knows anything. We had computer club, quote unquote, and it was supposed to be like where people like worked on computers and like and did shit, but it just ended up being StarCraft club. And everyone would just get on the school computers and play StarCraft.
Now, how many of you were Korean?
There's actually one.
Oh, was he the best?
He was like average. He was all right.
Deep shame. Deep shame to his family.
Yeah, there weren't that many Asians at my school. Well, I guess it was probably more than any other minority.
Well, I can't remember if I shared this on one of the Jovial Jackie hours, but I did not meet a Jewish person until I went to college.
Oh, my God. I bet my school was a quarter Jewish.
No, it's weird. Rhode Island is, I think the demographics are around 80% white, which is odd.
Is it Protestant? Because that's like the Northeast.
Nah, Catholic. It's very...
Like, oh, I'm talking out of my ass then.
Well, it's a weird split. There's actually...
Because I thought the Protestants landed in... Plymouth Rock.
Well, everyone kind of landed there, I think.
Well, I don't know about everyone. It's not like a magnet for wooden boats. But I thought the Pilgrims were Protestant. That's why they left.
I kind of gloss over that kind of stuff in history class.
I know the very vague outlines, and I think that was like one of the things. Because they left the Church of England. That was their whole thing. They're like, hey, look at this giant piece of land that no one's in except people that are actually living there.
That's true, but it tends to – Rhode Island and Massachusetts are both skew liberal and vote Democratic pretty much every election. Mm-hmm. But within that, there's kind of like there's hippy-dippy leftist, let's legalize drugs lefties, and then there's like church lefties.
Lefties?
Yeah, which
something I've not encountered. What does that mean?
They're liberal. They're okay with gay marriage and that kind of stuff, but they also want there to be like prayer in school, and like
wow,
like these weird kind of old school religious values. Oh, and they want civil unions. They don't want gay marriage. I should clarify.
Oh, civil unions of same sex or yeah. Civil unions for everyone?
Civil unions for same sex. Marriages are only man woman.
Okay, so separate but equal, in other words.
Yes.
Okay. That's like, yeah, it's like weird, like, fundamentalist left, like, if that makes sense. Like, that's like such a strange, like, they'll put up with it, but only to a certain extent.
Yeah, well, there's kind of sex like that all over the place, though. You know, there's log cabin Republicans.
Is that just libertarian?
I think it means that they are gay Republicans. Although
log.
I could...
Oh, like not closet, but log cabin.
Yes.
Although that's hilarious.
I could be making this up right now.
I'm in the tool shed. It's not a closet, it's a tool shed.
Jebediah.
How many gay people do you think there were in the Bible?
In the Bible?
Like closet.
Oh, I would not know. I don't even know how many people are in the Bible. It seems like there's a lot of people mentioned in the Bible.
I'm going to guesstimate 70,000.
That are mentioned in the Bible or gay? Or just
No, people? just people. I don't know where this is going.
We've taken quite the turn here.
There's been a lot of turns.
I also...
To be fair.
Now, what made you ask me that question? That is this something you've thought about before? Like
which question? Because I asked like four in a row.
How many gay people are in the Bible? Like,
Well, it started with us talking about like gay marriage and people's stances. And I was like, well, a lot of it stems from the Bible. So they follow the Bible so closely. I mean, people like in a certain branch, like just follow the Bible word for word. But what if some of the people making those quotes were like closet homosexuals, and the courts that they follow and they live their lives by, if they found out the person saying it was gay, mm-hmm. would that, like, blow their mind? Would they be like, this is terrible, I've been following this gay person my whole life? Like, how hilarious would that be?
I feel like they would just kind of deflect and move on.
I think they would just ignore it.
Yeah.
Never comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
And never bring it up again.
I agree with you, because
that's the kind of people that do that.
Well, also, if you look at anything that kind of works like that, if you look at 9/11 truthers, like when you confront...
Oh, boy. Those.
Well, when you confront, you know, that or someone who believes in the JFK assassination, like a conspiracy...
It, okay. All right, you started out as people that believe in the JFK assassination. I was like, that actually happened. But then you went on to say conspiracy, so...
Yeah, facts are still out.
You can... Is he dead? That's the real question. No, you just confused me for a second there.
Jury. But, I think the jury's still out on JFK.
Yeah, he's probably still president, technically.
Mm. Yeah, I think that was an episode of Quantum Leap.
Oh, everything was an episode of Quantum Leap. That was a great show.
I know. Actually, yeah, that was. It was weird. It was a dark episode of Quantum Leap where.
Oh, there were multiple.
Well, it's also
But that's very dark because it was real.
Well, yeah, and he's in the body of Lee Harvey Oswald, and I feel like he almost rapes a lady.
Just because he can.
Pretty much, and also you find out that because of him, I guess in Quantum Leap's timeline, Jackie O is the one who got shot originally.
Like, oh, shit.
Her and the president, and because of Sam's involvement, only the president got shot.
Oh, so like it's his fault that JFK was killed.
It's not his fault, but like he was meant to leap to save Jackie Kennedy's life. Like, apparently the Quantum Leap gods didn't think it, you know, JFK had to die to them.
Mm.
It was
a necessary act.
Yes.
But because of his involvement, Jackie O died?
No, because of his involvement, Jackie O got saved.
Oh.
That's why he was leaping back.
So in Sam's timeline,
mm-hmm.
Jackie O dies.
Yes.
Like in his real life timeline.
Yes.
So he's going back to save her.
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and it's dark even by the dark Quantum Leap episode standards. Because mm-hmm. there's also, you know, episodes where, oh, Sam's a mentally retarded kid.
Exactly.
And then
like an
evil leaper puts the moves on him while he's in the mentally handicapped kid's body.
And he was... There's multiple leapers?
Yes. That's...
Oh, I don't remember this at all.
Oh, you need to deep dive. You need to watch this 20-year-old TV show.
I need to get into the deep cuts of Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Hey, I still haven't seen Sliders. So I'm not sure.
Oh, I haven't seen that either. That's
okay.
Well, that's Sliders' niche.
It looks just as retarded.
Yeah. Well, Sliders also. It's hard for me. Who's the lead in that? Jeremy Connell.
Jerry O'Connell. Yeah. Not Jeremy Connell, but Jerry O'Connell.
I can't. They're all the same person in my mind.
Who's they all? There's one person. Jerry O'Connell.
He's the guy who interviews people on ESPN, right?
No. He's never worked for ESPN.
Well, regardless, they're all just some guy.
No, he was the fat kid in Stand By Me who got skinny and banged Rebecca Romijn Stamos.
Oh yes, I remember that voice.
Or is currently banging after John Stamos.
Yeah, that's what Richard Dreyfuss says in Family Guy, right?
About, about Jerry O'Connell?
Yeah, he's like, can you believe it? That. The fat kid from Stand By Me is with Rebecca Romijn.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah.
Like exactly the same thing I said?
Yeah. I thought you were doing a bit.
No, like what season was that? Because I stopped in like season 3 or 4.
Oh, this was recent. This was like...
Oh, no, I didn't.
This was like a year or two ago. They kind of ripped off... you know how Futurama does like the anthology of interest?
Where oh, the three different stories?
Yeah, Family Guy kind of did one of those with 80s movies, and they did Stand By Me. I think they may have done Jaws, and they did like E.T. or something.
Is that why Richard Dreyfuss was in it?
Yeah, although Now that I think about it, I don't know if it was actually Richard Dreyfuss or if it was just a sound alike.
Oh, no, they do voices for most of the people, I think, on there.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually him, but I'm sure it was like him cartoon-wise.
Yeah, it was Maurice LaMarche or someone like that.
The guy who does Cleveland is white.
That's
funny. He's like this tall, skinny white man, which is very weird. It's like literally the opposite of Cleveland.
Yeah.
A short, fat black man.
Oh, yeah. Well, they also, apparently, like a lot of commercials you hear Morgan Freeman on, it's not actually Morgan Freeman.
Oh, like if it's a car commercial or something?
Yeah.
Like it's someone who sounds like him and everyone thinks it's him?
Yeah, and apparently, have you ever heard the Talking Tunes podcast?
Talking Tunes?
Yes.
Is that like voiceover people?
Absolutely.
That's something I want to do.
Wow, you should listen to this because it's.
I feel like it's hard as shit to like really break into because there's so many people trying to do it. It's the dream of sitting on your ass and getting money for no reason.
Oh, it is. Well, not
like that's the dream of everyone if it really gets down to it.
Yeah,
I feel like it's something I'd want to do, but it sounds impossible.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is, they make it clear that you cannot do that. Like, most of them come from performing backgrounds. Like, they did theater and that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, so they can manipulate everything and actually, like, you have to be an actor. Like, that's...
Yeah.
And you almost have to be more of an actor because you have to only rely on one aspect, and it's just your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actors get to do their whole body and their voice, but they only have one thing.
Mm-hmm. No, and like they were talking, who was on there? Nancy Cartwright, who
Lisa Simpson,
Bart Simpson, close.
Shit,
God,
right, we're going to have to edit that out.
No shears, no cuts.
Shit,
that's not the type of show we run.
You know what? I don't have to agree with you, since you're now my producer.
God,
you've just been kissed into the position.
Did you produce any material for the show? Did you write anything? Do you have any
pages? Actually,
do you have
no,
pages?
I did. I have about 8 topics that we haven't gotten to.
8 topics?
God. Well, one of them was actually Rhode Island, so we sort of covered that. You know, we've been on quite a journey already. The topics we've swam through and navigated.
I'm not going to lie, that quantum leap talk.
That was some heavy shit.
I'm hoping Jackie, I'm hoping Cosmo, that they're just sitting down when they read that. Well, when they listen to it, like that they, you know, that they could hold on to something.
Right.
Maybe fan themselves with an oversized fan.
I think a 16-plus-ounce glass of lemonade plus a fan is what I would advise any lady listening to this to have in hand.
Oh, heavens. Oh my.
Oh, dearie.
What are those boys saying?
I cannot comprehend the masculinity.
Oh. Why do we sound like we're Looney Tunes characters. I say.
I do believe this is flustering in my bosom.
Now, see, this probably should not go on our reel when we try out for voice acting.
Oh, when I actually apply to it, which will be never?
Yeah. Well, come on. Don't sell yourself short.
I'm one of those people who starts many things and never finishes. I'll admit that right now. That's me opening up.
Now, did you come from a broken home? Because that's one of the signs of coming from a broken home. Starting,
oh, fuck. Yeah, I did.
Starting projects and then abandoning them.
Yes, that's... Wow, is that for real?
Yeah.
All right, well... Check number one.
Oh, God. This is taking a somber turn.
It's going to become the Stephen Greenwell podcast. With first guest, Huell Hauser.
You know, it takes bravery, though, to turn the mirror upon yourself.
It's something I do not do well.
And no, your next guest should be Cosmo. You know, just to poke about your head a little bit. Just see what condition your condition checked in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
See what condition my condition is in.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say.
Is that a song of some sort?
Kenny Rogers.
Now, I'm not familiar with him. Is he? You mean the chicken guy, right?
No, I'm not really a Kenny Rogers fan. It's just that it was in The Big Lebowski.
Yes, yes, I'm aware.
Oh, okay.
I was just screwing around.
Oh, you're playing with me. You fool.
Yeah, I was toying with you.
We seem to like all the same things.
Well, and also, Adam Carolla, have you heard his things on Kenny Rogers?
I remember, yeah, a few of the old bits, like his older songs.
Yeah, it's weird he hasn't done them recently. Although he could have done it recently, and I just wouldn't have listened anyway. But
precisely.
He would have whole jags
on it. It could have happened a week ago, and neither of us would know.
Pretty much. I listen to Damashek or Dag or Def Rat Guys on.
I just literally don't listen anymore at all.
I was tempted when I saw Kevin Costner, but then I saw that it was a phone-in,
yeah.
And it's like, how good could this be?
Who gives a shit?
And how in Field of Dreams. What? Do you ever play any high school ball?
I remember when I played football. My dad never came. Like, it's the same fucking shit. Yeah.
Tommy Lasorda saw me at a celebrity softball game and said, if I got you when you were 18, I could have made you into a player.
It turns out they put me on the Jumbotron. I have no reason to listen anymore.
Yeah, well, it's, in a way, it's scary that I have so much recall over Adam Carolla stories, yet I cannot remember high school chemistry.
Oh man, I loved chemistry.
Oh, we'll see. We're different people.
That's our first difference. No, I feel like I went down the wrong path in life. Like, I don't like software at all. I don't like doing it anymore. But I feel like I would love fucking chemistry.
Are you saying you broke bad? Ha.
No, I didn't break bad. I broke stupid.
Wow. You could break bad. Do you know? Are you good with your hands?
Yeah,
Are you good with mixing chemicals?
I like building things and taking apart things. So I feel like my profession is completely wrong. Like, I'm still good at it. Like, I'm okay at it, but like, I'm not great. Like, I don't seek it out in my spare time. Like, I don't like research or anything. I just do what I have to do and just get by.
Yeah.
But getting by in software is still making a decent living.
I know. That's always the tough part about deciding on a career change, because you basically have to commit to your life being shitty for a year or two.
Yeah, I have to get used to it. But, like, I don't think anyone... I could probably do chemistry. I think it would be fun. Because I took... Do you remember AP classes? Like, how old are you? Like, 28, 29?
Yeah, I'm 29.
Yeah, I was stalking your profile just to get a handle on the man I was talking to. I think I saw 29. But, yeah. So, like, you're in high school. It's like, hey, figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life, and you're 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, and there's also, like, even, like, my day job is as a reporter. Mm-hmm. Like, when I was considering that, even in 2000, 2002, when I was looking at colleges, you know, entry level was around 25, but after 5 years, most people moved on to a job that was in the 30s, 40s. You know, you would move from a smaller paper to a bigger paper to, you know, a national paper. You know, that simply doesn't exist anymore. Like,
yeah, that career path isn't there.
Yeah, like, I've been...
Because there's, like, 20 jobs.
Pretty much. Like, I've been working for a decade, and I have some awards on my resume. And yeah, it does not matter. So, it's tough, man.
Yeah.
This changes
I have no doubt
your landscape.
Like, it's like your own doing, but still, like...
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you just get awards because there's just not that many people? Or is your work that good?
A little column A, a little column B.
Yeah.
It's,
like, I'm sure you're great. Like, what's your niche? What do you write about?
The thing is, like, at the level I'm at, you don't really have niches.
You can't have a niche anymore.
Yeah, you just write about a town. Like, I cover a town in Rhode Island. Like, normally you don't see niches until you get to, like, what state do you even live in?
I live in Pennsylvania, but I was born and raised in Jersey.
Okay, like Pittsburgh probably has its own paper where people have beats and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's probably a bunch of shitty writers that no one cares about.
And the same with, Philly actually has an interesting thing where they, I think they only have one newspaper there now, right?
Well, they have the Inquirer.
And that paper is in disarray. Like, I guess publisher just got fired and that kind of stuff. It's ugly.
See, you're up on these things, but like the general public doesn't give a shit.
Pretty much.
Like, I don't mean to shit on your profession, but you know, it's obvious because
at a certain point, it's kind of to parallel it to the Corolla thing. Mm-hmm. Like, most of the people who listen to the show only care how good the show is. They don't care about the backstage stuff where, you know, how's the sound so bad even though there's 15 people working?
Right. The majority of his listeners.
What does Donnie do?
Just download and listen. Like, they don't really care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I can see that. Yeah. Like, it sounds terrible. Like, I don't mean to shit on your profession, but, like, you know, I feel like that's what I've been doing, so I'm sorry if that's
come across like that. I didn't come on this podcast to be attacked.
Look, I don't want to attack you. I just want to attack the things you do.
I came here to have a nice, lively discussion about our favorite of Jericho's 1,004 holds.
I would have to be armbar.
Definitely. The armbar, the spinning I can't even say it.
Saskatchewan?
There you go.
Saskatchewanian?
Yeah. Which then
Saskatchewanian scrambler?
Which then became a finisher for some guy in ECW, because he liked that name so much.
Saskatchewan?
Yeah, there we go.
Alright, pop quiz. What was better, the Lion Tamer or the Walls of Jericho?
The Lion Tamer.
What's the reason?
Because the Walls of Jericho was just a Boston crab.
Yes.
Lion Tamer actually looked unique.
Tamer had the knee to the back.
Exactly.
That was what made it better. Thank you. You passed the test.
I mean, I don't think it's up for debate. I imagine the only reason I can think of why he would switch is that it probably did legit hurt guys put into it or something.
No, it was that vanilla WWF style.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to make anything look like it actually hurts.
I could see that. Well, also, once he switched to the Walls of Jericho, I feel like nobody ever tapped out to it.
It was a very brief moment.
Yeah.
But, like, it just never happened. Like, everyone would just do that power out move where they flipped him over. And then his real finisher became the fucking Lion Salt.
Yeah, pretty much. It was like how after a while...
It's like, alright, I guess that's cool.
Yeah. It was that, like, after a while, Ric Flair didn't beat anyone with a figure four.
Yeah. Because it became so powerful, they had to flip the scales the complete other way to make everyone power out of it. And the fucking reverse, where they just flip over, like, they're like, it reversed the pressure, now the other guys are, like, it made no sense at all.
Yeah, like
that was the go-to move.
Yeah, there were some wrestling moves that look kind of real. Like, to me, a powerbomb looks like, you know.
Yeah, you're going to get fucked up.
Yeah, there's no real way.
A pile driver, you're going to get fucked up.
Yeah, those moves, there's no real way to fake it. And that's probably why you don't see them so much. And guys like, don't like to take them.
WWF outlawed the pile driver for a while.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Except the tombstone.
Well, yeah. I think the tombstone's different.
With the tombstone, you're protected by the knees.
Yeah.
Because there's like a step down and then it's like down and like... Mm-hmm. If he's not fucking it up, you can't really get hurt because the knees take the whole impact. Yeah. But like that sit down pile driver they used to do, like you could fuck that up real easily.
Yeah, the one that almost.
I think they fucked up Owen Hart, right?
No, he screwed up
Austin, right?
Yeah, Stone Cold.
Yeah, it was the other way. Austin screwed up, or Owen Hart screwed up Austin.
Yeah, that's when he first really had neck problems when. Mm-hmm. I guess he got dropped on his head and he could barely finish the match and
right.
You know.
Barely, yeah, he was out for like a year.
Yeah, yeah. I know now have you been listening to his podcast at all?
I do like select episodes, like I'm way behind just because mm-hmm. I've done like just a few at a time. Like if I'm caught up on other podcasts, I listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool. I wish it was more shooty. Like, I wish they really got into shit, because they just kind of touch on some things.
Yeah, I agree. And he also, he does have a surprisingly wide array of guests from wrestling. Yeah. Like he had Metzler on there, and he had some other writer.
He has refs on there. Like, he had, guys from, each company.
Yeah, yeah.
He's... Guys who, aren't really with the WWF anymore, or E.
Yeah, yeah, that was interesting. I think, who do you have from TNA? Was it Styles?
He had Eric Young on.
Oh, I don't even remember that one.
Yeah, he had him on, and I think he had two or three other TNA guys. But, Flair's, been cut off from WWF, and he had him on.
Mm-hmm.
He had Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
He had the whole NWO, I think, except for Hogan. He never had Hogan.
Well, Hogan doesn't do anything unless he gets a paycheck,
That's impossible, yeah.
Hogan's going back to the WWE, apparently.
I don't think anyone would want him on. Oh, is he really?
Apparently. His TNA contract expired, and they're allegedly working on a deal.
Hmm.
Hot wrestling news.
I thought he actually had, ownership in TNA.
No, I think that was just an angle.
Oh. No, I never actually watched it. I just thought that was real.
Oh, no.
It's because I don't follow it at all. I thought it was, a real thing. So I know he had creative control, but probably just because he was involved.
Yeah, I think the plan...
Sorry, go on.
No. I think the plan when he first joined up was that, that he was going to have creative control with Bischoff. But then they didn't see much of a budge in the numbers. So they kind of moved away from that, I believe.
Oh, so after he took over... No one really cared.
Pretty much.
So then they just kept
other
staff.
They got a momentary bump when they moved to Monday nights to compete against Raw. And then they immediately went in the tank and had to go back to Thursdays, I think they're on.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they always had... I think they always had Thursday.
Yeah, pretty much.
Gotcha.
And I don't know. It's a weird show to watch.
TNA.
Yeah, it reminds me of WCW.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty much what it would be.
Yeah, it's just wrestlers from, at this point, 30 or 40 years ago. Hogan and Sting are still wrestling from time to time.
Yeah, I knew Sting was on there because it was a rumor, last WrestleMania that Sting would come back to WWF.
Yeah.
Or E. And it turns out he just went to TNA still, he was just still with them.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's what the fuck?
The dirt sheet said he came the closest to jumping that he ever did, because the situation at TNA was not that great. And if he was gonna do that one match with The Undertaker, they would have to do it soon.
Yeah, the WrestleMania streak match.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is what the WWE would want him for.
The Undertaker's last match is gonna have to be fucking huge.
Yeah.
So it's going to be Sting or Lesnar or
mm-hmm.
I don't even know who else at this point it could really be. One more with Michaels, I don't think Shawn Michaels could really do it.
No.
He hasn't gone in 2 years.
Well, they've mentioned that Michaels doesn't really want to wrestle again.
Yeah, I don't think Austin could do it. Maybe Rock. No. Rock and Undertaker, maybe that could happen.
And I think Rock is kind of cool in the company too, because he kind of...
Yeah, he'll do anything. He put over... So many people.
Yeah.
The last few times he's been there,
Well, the last time he was in the ring, though, they were kind of angling toward Rock versus Lesnar for a Survivor Series or something, and then I think Rock tore his pectoral muscle or something.
Oh shit! Yeah. Recently, the recent ones.
Whenever he was last in the ring, which I think was the day after WrestleMania or something like
last
that.
Last WrestleMania, he did Cena again, and Cena won.
Yeah. I think they had plans for him after that, but then he got hurt.
Okay.
And obviously, if he gets hurt, the wrestling for him is secondary. It means he's delaying the $200 million movies he's going to be in.
He's delaying Fast and Furious and G.I. Joe and the four other franchises he's in. It's
The movies he's getting $20 million paychecks.
There's no way WWF is paying him enough to even come close to, the movie deals.
No, I agree completely.
They do not have that kind of money. He does it because he loves it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a family thing.
Yeah.
Him.
And he'll be happy to put over new guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think like him and Daniel Bryan, or like one last, like him and Undertaker. Like, not that Rock would end the streak, but like Taker would end the streak with Rock, and it's just, that would be it. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because I don't, they honestly, I don't think they've fought that much.
I don't think they
like
have
there
either.
Was the corporation, but like they were kind of both in it at the same time, weren't they?
Yeah, well, it's weird. They've kind of been uneasy allies most of the time, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
They've never really fought.
Yeah, and I remember...
So I think that would be cool.
Yeah, I remember being a teenager when Rocky first got his, like, big run as a face. Not his very first run, but, like...
Yeah, the run no one liked.
Yeah, going from heel to face, they were teaming him up with The Undertaker.
Yeah, because it was the corporation. It was the corporate... what was it called? Corporate Ministry.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was Rock and Undertaker were the two, and they went against Austin.
Yeah.
Because someone had to take Austin down. It was like, yeah, it was Triple H Corporation. Rock was part of the Nation of Domination, then he got taken over by the corporate ministry with Undertaker.
Yeah. And we all remember those other superstars in the Nation of Domination, like...
D'Lo Brown, man.
Yep, Ron Simmons.
Mark Henry's still around.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Mark Henry's still doing shit.
Yeah.
I think. Or he might be hurt. He gets hurt, like, every other month because he's so fucking fat.
Yeah. Well, he's back now. He's good, but you're right. He does get hurt all the time.
Constantly.
Batista's coming back, apparently.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be awesome. I sort of miss him.
I kind of
do. Oh, Flyers tied it. Sorry.
What'd you say?
I said Flyers tied it. They're playing at Edmonton, so it's on super late.
Oh, nice.
Hockey.
I am aware with the game the Flyers play.
The game of the Flyers.
Puck.
No, but like, yeah, the game of Puck.
Yeah.
Competitive 4.
I don't play competitive 4 anymore. I've retired.
Simply recreational.
Ah. It's too bad. He could have a good grudge match with Rajon Rondo.
Rondo?
Yeah, Rajon Rondo plays...
Competitive 4?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was a big deal. They had
Is that a
soccer
man?
Rajon Rondo?
Yeah.
No, he plays point guard for the Celtics.
Oh, he sounds like a soccer player.
Hmm. He looks like Black E.T. He has...
He's bug eyes and a crazy neck?
Yeah, he has a big head.
Wow.
Not quite as much as Sam Cassell.
Well, have that you seen, sounds...
Do you know
Sam
who,
Cassell?
Yeah, do you know who Sam
Cassell sounds
like
a 60 Minutes reporter.
No.
And I'm Sam Cassell.
Not quite. big NBA fan, are you?
No. Soccer and basketball are my two weaknesses. I love hockey, football, and I sort of like baseball.
Well, you're American. Why would you know soccer?
Yeah, Bill, precisely. Well, so are you. Wait, you're from Rhode Island.
Yeah, I don't really know soccer.
Do you currently reside in... Were you born and raised in Rhode Island? Were you born and raised in Rhode Island?
Is this from your topic list? Are
the
you...
same area.
Is this one of the questions you've prepared?
No, because you accused me of not knowing soccer because I was American. But
yeah.
Then I remembered you were also American. So
yeah,
what?
It's not like I know a ton about soccer.
Yeah. So where's the hostility come from?
I don't know. I don't think that was hostile to begin with.
I don't appreciate these wild accusations.
Oh no, you don't like soccer. You must be a horrible person.
What a dumb American.
What else don't you like? Poutine?
I'm just wiping my ass with $50 bills. Because
yeah.
I'm some stupid rich American.
Yeah.
I like to watch Transformers and stuff blow up.
Mm-hmm. Also, what are you doing with the mic? Who are you, Dr. Drew?
I'm probably bumping it a lot.
My God, you're punching.
I'll admit.
You're punching it. You're working that mic out.
Well, it keeps coming closer to my mouth, and then I keep thinking I'm breathing into it, so then I pull it away real quick, and then the cord bumps on the table when I pull it away. And then it gradually inches closer to my face, and then I pull it away again. So perhaps that's what you're listening to.
You have a lot of experience with this type of behavior? Getting something close to your mouth and pulling it away?
I need to keep things out of my mouth for the most part.
There's
it has become a problem.
There's probably an unfortunate hour of Stuff You Cut from the Back Sack podcast that we should probably be glad you cut it from that.
There was, like before when we were trying to record and I was doing test recordings that never worked. I do have around 4 minutes of stuff I recorded with Backsack.
Uncomfortable romantic tension.
There was a lot of tension. I'll just say so.
Ooh, let me see your watch. Now let me see your bicep.
Guess what? I don't have a watch.
Ooh. Wow. Isn't that the whole point of the Haberdashery Hour? To talk about the finer things like watches and scotch?
Oh, I do. I just got a new whiskey at Christmas.
Oh, how delightful. Tell us more about your whiskey.
It's a Jim Beam Select, which mm-hmm. means it's not that fancy. They try to make it fancy by saying it's finished with rare Spanish brandy. And I'm thinking it's rare because no one buys it. So then they mixed it in Jim Beam Select.
You're saying it's like basement barrel whiskey.
Some could say that. Mm-hmm. But no, it's good. I mean, I drink it.
It gets you drunk?
Yeah. This shit'll get you drunk. Uncle Jemima's pure mash liquor.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to... Yeah, Tracy Morgan.
Yeah.
/ Tracy.
Pancakes is ready! Shut up, woman.
That was a shockingly good impersonation.
Yeah.
See, there's hope for you in this voice.
I think I can do voices, but I just need to practice.
Yeah, you should just specialize in black voices. It'll go over great.
Oh, everyone would love it. I would just never show my face.
Yeah, exactly. You can.
Everyone would just think I was Jay Farrow or something.
Mm-hmm. You'll be just like Wilson from Home Improvement.
Right. Only they'd see my white eyes over the fence. That were to happen.
I don't think eyes have colors. Do you just mean like the...
No, I mean the skin around the eyes. Like, you saw Wilson's eyes and you knew he was a white dude.
Oh, I didn't know that at all. I just thought he was a neighbor who peeped a little too much.
Yeah, a white neighbor.
Mm-hmm. It was always... Now, it was always the funniest when they had Wilson not behind the fence. Like, he would be out. He'd be out at a diner eating dinner, and he would.
And the waitress would walk by with the plates in her hand.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
With the tray blocking his vision.
Yeah.
Or he'd be over the divider.
Mm-hmm.
That diners have between booths and whatnot.
Yeah. I wonder what that guy's up to now. He was probably in The Wolf of Wall Street or Gravity or something like that.
I'm gonna say he was in.
Had to have
Dallas been. Buyers Club, and no one saw it.
Probably. I mean, when
300 people that saw it didn't recognize him.
When you have 200 episodes of Home Improvement on your reel, I mean, that's gold.
There's probably at least that many.
It was on for 10, 12 seasons.
10 or 12, holy shit.
And also, by the way, Patricia Richardson, she was on Quantum Leap. Surprisingly attractive. It made me feel
uncomfortable. That's a MILF candidate for sure.
It made me feel uncomfortable how attractive she was on Quantum Leap.
If I was at a bar and it was like one, it was like maybe an hour before closing,
mm-hmm.
she sauntered up. Maybe she had had a few herself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say no.
You're saying you would have your way with her.
I'd make sex on her.
You would tear through her like Sherman through the
snout. No, there'd be no tearing. It would be a very respectful situation.
Mm, she's a woman you have to love.
Only if she requested the tearing would it happen.
She's a woman you have to romance.
That's a woman that you have to know what she wants, and she'll let you know. That's the thing. That's how three Taylor children were made.
That's true.
That was the night that she got her way.
Wow. Now, do you think one of them? Do you think one of them was secretly Al Borland?
Oh, that's a great question. Because there were two blonde children, and the youngest was actually brown-haired.
Yeah, I believe so.
So there might have been a gap in time where they made the two older ones, mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor Thomas and whatever the old one was, And
yeah,
maybe there's like 5 or 6 years where like, all right, two kids, I think we've got it great. And then one night after the Taylor's New Year's party, maybe Tim just had a little too much. He was like, you know, honey, I'm going up to bed. Like, you have fun. And she's down there with Al and a few other friends, like the neighbors. And the neighbors are like, all right, great party. Like, they filter out one by one. And by the end of the night, it's just her and Al. And they're chatting. They're like, you know, Tool Time's a great show. I really like the work you do there. And she's like, yeah. He's like, yeah. Tim, you know, he gets into trouble, and I get him out of it. She's just sitting there like, yeah, you do a great job. Yeah, Tim's a big fuck up, and then they just talk about how much he fucks up.
Ooh. And then she's like, now I need you to fuck me.
Yeah.
She goes blue.
Maybe Tim's a fuck up, but maybe you should fuck me.
Oh, well, now see, this...
And then the studio audience is like, woo!
Yeah, this is an especially dark episode of Home Improvement we're planning here.
This was a planned season finale.
Now, here is my addition to this.
And then they made the little one.
I think what really happened, though, is three-way with her, Al, and Wilson. And that's why Wilson, you never see his face. Because you would realize that, oh, that's Zach's real father.
He's so ashamed that he can't face Tim face to face.
Exactly.
Has to always be hiding. That's his mask. That's his protection.
Oh, the mask that he wears.
Yes. That he wears to not let Tim know that he fucked his wife. And made his youngest child that Tim believes is his. But yet they're so different. It's interesting.
That's deep stuff. We need to start writing this up as a spec script for the...
This is scary.
Home Improvement 2014.
Home Disimprovement. No.
Ooh.
I was trying to go deep there. It didn't really work.
No, it's okay. I wonder what a porn version of Home Improvement is like, because there has to be one.
I think we just talked about it like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It was Al and the wife.
They could probably actually get Al Borland, because he's...
Oh, no doubt. Richard Karn. He's completely free.
Yeah, he no longer has his Family Feud hosting responsibility.
We could probably get him posting on the Dimefer. He's got nothing going on.
Yeah, sure. Maybe he's a big Adam fan.
Let's get him.
Yeah.
Not a guest on the podcast, a guest on my podcast.
You should shoot high like that. Enough with these posters.
The Backsacks of the world are too important. I need to get Richard Karn.
Well, I feel like Backsack, he's probably represented some people we've heard of. He's probably rubbed
out. Yeah, he's in L.A. Like, yeah. There's got to be people like he's dying to let us know, but like he just can't. It's just not possible.
Yeah, he knows people at CAA. He knows people at UPA.
I bet he's represented Pauly Shore. I'm going to throw it out there.
Yeah, probably.
He's been the employee of Backsack.
Yeah, he probably copyrighted the "Hey, buddy." He's like, "Oh, Pauly, of course. It's great to hear your voice."
Paul.
Oh yeah, Paul.
Paul Gregory Shore.
Yes, Paul.
I'm making a stab at that middle name.
Paul, it's so nice to hear from you.
Paul, yes, hello.
Oh yeah,
I am Mr. Sack. I'll be representing you.
I have your motion prepared. I'm gonna argue your tort in a couple days in Superior Court.
Now, Mr. Shore, let me get the events of November 14th square away in your own words.
Yeah, we'll deposition.
I can see that happening. I trust him. Just one look at that watch, and you're like, this man knows what he's talking about.
You can judge a man by the caliber of his watch.
Like, I understand a lawyer needing a good watch. Like, yeah. It all makes sense now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the only thing finer than his watch is probably the cut of his suit.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Yeah.
I bet he has no less than 20 ties.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? He's probably on a first-name basis with the Shoeshine Boy. With their version of John Sally at the courthouse.
Yes, Sally.
Yeah.
Like, Christmas gonna come early this year, Mr. Feeney.
Yeah. Oh, Mr. Backsack, you want some white walls?
No, Johnny.
Yeah.
Just the shine today.
Yeah, you know, what is Mark Sally up to? He could be there at the courthouse with Backsack right now.
Mark Sally?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
What's his name? Mark Sally? John Sally?
You're thinking of Mark Summers.
Oh, well, Mark Summers is...
You're obviously thinking of Mark Summers.
Yeah, that's... Now, see, that's someone you have to shoot for in year two of this podcast. You can't go straight to Summers.
No. No, that's a dream. Him and Kirk Fogg are the dream duo.
Yeah, you need to warm up with some of these D-list guests first. You know? Like Richard Karn.
Yes.
Dick Karn. Call him Dick Karn. He likes that.
Dick Karn. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you good to go for a little while longer?
What, like in life?
No, for like the recording, just the show.
Yeah.
How long have we actually been recording?
I haven't really been keeping a tally.
Because we started for like 20 minutes before this, trying to actually record, and then you just started recording.
You know, I viewed that as the best part of my day. I'm not going to lie, Huel. I hope you held it in such high esteem as well.
I did. Those were wonderful times. What I was getting at is I'm going to go pee again so we can just keep going.
All right. Do you want me to do a reading while you're gone?
Do you have any ads that you can read?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Go
pee. Do a Sherry's Berries ad.
I'll fill some time.
I'll be right back. Well, I was going to cut it, but if you're going to fill it, you go right ahead.
All right. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Let's get a monologue going.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
This episode of the Huel's Haberdasher Hour is sponsored by Amazon.com. Amazon.com. For when you don't know what to get your relative for the Christmas.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
Nothing much. I only did a... Well, you only had one spot this week. I'm sorry.
Oh. What was our sponsor this week?
Well, this is something you should know as the host. I feel like as your informal producer, there's only so much I can do for you.
It's something I will find out later.
Yeah.
Is what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, you know, you could do a live read right now.
Sure. I think there's one of the ones I've heard, stamps.com.
I was just going to say, stamps.com. They're...
Listen. No one likes going to the post office. You stand there in line in front of the man with 10 packages sent to 10 different addresses. Mm-hmm. Or the woman who just doesn't even know where she is. That's why you need stamps.com. Stamps.com. Sign up now under stamps.com/Huel. Get $50 in free postage. Not to mention a free scale to weigh all your packages sending out. Ooh. Listen, I use stamps.com every day. I send out all my DVDs to the people that order them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those Huell Hauser podcast DVDs.
Mm.
Season 1.
Preach.
Featuring such guests as Backsack and S. Greenwell.
Woo!
So all those orders are sent out at stamps.com.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up today.
Now, I don't think this is an exaggeration, but the only thing worse than going to the post office is probably the Holocaust. Do you agree?
I was going to say the Challenger explosion, but...
No, that's nothing like waiting in line at the post office.
Yeah. I feel like innocent people exploding in a spacecraft is just a step below standing in line at the post office.
Well, who says they were innocent? They were trying to get up into the clouds above God.
Yeah, who said that teacher wasn't actually a neo-Nazi? That can't be proven.
Yeah, you know, no proof against it.
Sally Ride.
Yeah, just, it's a conspiracy, man.
More like Sally, I hate Jews. That's what I heard.
Oof. We're really ripping the lid off a lot of things today.
I feel like the truth just really needs to be told.
Mm, clearly. And we're the two guys to do it.
If there was ever a duo that could say, hey, open your fucking eyes.
Oof.
It would be us.
Well, I wouldn't work so blue, but yes.
Open your daggone eyes.
That's a little bit better.
Okay.
So.
So on the 50 minutes in or so, on the list of things I had to talk about, mm-hmm. Number one was Christmas chat. Do you celebrate Christmas?
I do.
Interesting. A name like Greenwell, one would think, does this man celebrate Christmas? And as we have found out, he does.
Are you reading right now? Are you?
No.
Are these prepared questions?
These are prepared thoughts.
I'm now imagining you with a stack of cards like James Lipton.
I had bullet points.
Hmm.
Well, I'm also like burping every three words, so I'm trying to pause and take the microphone away.
Oh, I thought that was just for dramatic effect.
It sounds like I'm reading, because I'm actually very drunk.
I thought you were just Shatnering it.
Well, here's a question. You sounded sober this entire time.
Yeah, I'm not drinking. I only have three Yinglings left in my fridge, so I've been nursing them.
You've been coveting them.
Yeah, I think we have discussed this before. No Yingling in Rhode Island.
I might have heard that.
Yeah, they are going
to... Is that like just your favorite?
It's kind of my favorite just because I get it so infrequently.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Like at one point I coveted Wawa, like Wawa subs,
mm-hmm.
because I moved away to college and I couldn't get it.
Yeah.
And they're not great. It's just like a nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
So I can see that with Yingling. Like I like Yingling. It's like probably the best cheap beer.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you can't get it, you're kind of mad, but like there's many, many better beers.
Yeah, but it's also like I don't really have much of a palate for that kind of stuff. Like if I don't have Yingling, normally my other option is Narragansett beer, which have you ever had that?
Is that like a local cheap beer?
Pretty much. It
sounds like a New England-y kind of thing.
Yeah, its distribution is kind of scattered, but it's kind of like I almost think it tastes like Coors Light.
Okay.
Which I kind of like Coors Light because it's watery and refreshing.
Of the light domestics, it's definitely the best.
Yeah. It's...
Bud Light has no flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And Miller Light has the worst flavor.
Miller Light has like a sawdust taste.
It's fucking disgusting. It's like sour all the time.
Yeah.
So Coors Light's like right in the middle where it doesn't have no flavor and it doesn't have terrible flavor. It's just there, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you.
So it's the least shitty of the big three domestic lights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if I'm getting a cheap beer, I don't want I don't really want much of a strong flavor. I'm not gonna
that's
lie.
That's where Yingling comes in, and mm-hmm. I definitely agree with you. It's a step above those shitty domestic lights,
mm-hmm.
and it's not even it's like the same price.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Or maybe like 5 cents more or whatever.
And do yourself a favor. The kind I go for, I get the black and tan.
I do like the black and tan.
Yeah. I realize it contradicts what I just said because it does have a bit of a flavor, but I like it. It's a little heavier. Tastes mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, Yingling's black and tan is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually one I haven't had in a while. So I've actually gone for many other beers.
Well, we'll see. But to circle back to your question, I'm not a huge drinker, really.
Okay.
Like I said, I only have three beers, and we have a small thing of Captain Morgan in the fridge for when females are over.
Ah, because the contingents.
Oh, it's more like most ladies are not super into beer, so right. At least the beer I'm gonna drink. Like most of them want no part of Narragansett. So
the right ladies are into beer. Let me just tell you that.
Ah, words of wisdom.
Words of wisdom from Hillhauser.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, you came on here to interview me, but I really feel like I've learned almost as much about you.
Really?
Yeah.
So, is there more you would like to know?
No, just let's get through these topics that you have.
Oh, okay. I'll keep going at the list.
I don't want you to have to waste those bullet points.
Nothing is wasted.
I don't want you to have to put them back in your clip.
Well, we sort of went over Rhode Island. I wrote Christmas chat, then I wrote Christmas story. Because how do you feel about the 24 hours of a Christmas story?
I feel like it's 22 too many. I feel like you could get away with just showing it once.
That's where we part ways.
I mean, the thing is, most people have this thing called a DVR.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do not have that, you know, DVDs cost like $5.
There's something I feel like we have to hold on to as a society, and one of those things is tradition. And I feel 24 hours of a Christmas story is something we cannot trifle with.
That deep tradition of probably 5 years ago?
I'd extend it as much as 7, but yes. TBS, they tried to start something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a brilliant strategy. Over the holidays, there's nothing on TV.
Yeah.
And they've created an event by their own doing that people fucking tune into.
Well, I feel like it's just more that nobody's going to watch TV anyway. So the fact that...
Let's just put on a Christmas story, right?
Yeah, let's not bother burning anything.
So they get the ratings by doing nothing. And I think it's fucking brilliant.
I do not think that they get any ratings for that.
I disagree.
Like, they probably get, like, a 0.2 at its peak.
Well, everyone else is at, like, 0.02.
Yeah.
Or 0.03. So they've won the war.
Yeah. Well, it is that...
Those 24 hours are theirs.
Yeah. It is that weird dead period where the only thing new is, like, WWE Raw and TNA, and that's about it.
Or the news. Like, I feel bad for those poor saps that have to read the news.
Oh,
like the local news on like the 24th and the 25th.
Oh, here's a little secret. Most of those are well in the can already. Like they're
really
gone. Yeah, they're gone by like 6.
They're pre-recorded?
Oh, absolutely.
What if there's like a fire downtown?
Then they will sometimes break in. Like, if it's something that's that big, they'll normally just scrap it, and either have the anchors come back in, or. You know, more likely they'll probably just go to wherever the fire is for 30 minutes and just mm-hmm. report from there. And then, you know, you might slice up the broadcast and have the weather and the sports still in there.
But they're only doing like 40 minutes of work while they record an interview
mm-hmm.
at the side there. Splice it into the broadcast, replace something else, make sure they wear the same shirt and they're in.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, you're not going to – like, that's also how it works in the newspaper industry. If you have a daily that comes out on Christmas Day, normally it's just all canned stories. Like, it's all featured.
No, I figured that much. Q&A. Like, you can kind of write that ahead, but the recording ahead thing is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
How they're, like – they're not really lying, but, like, everyone thinks they're there.
Yeah.
Like, I obviously thought they were there because I'm an idiot.
But, well, it could – some of them probably do – live broadcast because they're
doo-doo.
Ah. Poop.
Poop is funny. Oh, I don't give a shit what anyone says.
Ha! You did it again. Don't give a shit.
It comes out of people's butts.
Nah. Everybody poops.
Farts.
What else is on your topic list? I'm curious. Right, well,
we went over Rhode Island, sort of.
You have mentioned that we've gone over Rhode Island like 5 times.
It's number 3 on my list. So we need to get past. Line 4. How about line 4?
Mm-hmm.
One word. Dave's.
Ah.
Something we chatted briefly about while we were not recording.
Oh, Elizabeth, I'm glad I'm sitting down. Glad I'm.
But it's something.
Holding on to something.
Near and dear to both our hearts.
Ah, such a travesty.
On my 3rd listen through. I think you've done way more than that, right?
From start to finish, I've only done it twice.
Ah, okay.
But I've also, like, at night, I'll just leave stuff on to fall asleep to. Like, most of the time, it's Simpsons or Futurama, but sometimes it's Dave's of Thunder. So,
interesting. Okay.
I probably have heard all of the episodes except the music one, like, you know, 4 or 5 times over the
I don't get why people are so mad about the music one, because that was one of my favorite, just because you got it all on one. In one sitting.
Well, I liked it, but it was also it just can't, like, were you listening to the show live, like downloading it each week, or did you discover
yes,
it after
I
it
was there from
done?
The start listening to every one that came out.
Yeah, I feel like the music episode came out in lieu of a real episode.
It was. Well, it was that weird period, like right before the end.
Yeah.
Where there was, like, it was, like, the van episode, and then, like, 2 weeks went by, and then there was another episode, and then, like, 3 more weeks, and then the music episode came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, they just put out something, but it wasn't a real episode.
Yeah.
And it was, like, 2 more weeks, and then the beer website guy,
mm-hmm.
and then it was, like, a month, and then it was the last one. So it was, like, yeah, it was in that weird period where there was no real consistent release.
Yeah.
So I understand that part, but, like, going back, I'm glad it exists that, like, they're all in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was also, like, I found the timing odd of it. I do love that van episode. I think that's one of my favorite.
That's, like, it wasn't the last one I listened to, but, like, the one before it. And it's just so fucking good.
Yeah. Look at
tampons, the good kind. It's just like David Feedy is just like,
yeah. Look at all the ham he bought. Have you ever seen someone buy so much ham?
The shopping list.
Yeah. It's
like, was the list, like, I know, like, he wrote a lot for the show, but, like, was the list improvised? Like, they just picked him up at the car dealer, and, like, he just had all this ready to go. Like, I don't, like, there's so much I want to know about, like, the preparation and the behind the scenes that,
you know, I feel like he probably just has a couple things that he always kind of prepares, and then
mm-hmm.
everything's kind of a derivative of that. Like, if you
like, I know there's obviously it's the Damashek jerk list thing, and mm-hmm. Jacuzzi Pete is fat,
yeah,
and, like, Blaster Girl loves him. Like, there's obvious roots to things.
Yeah.
But still, like, what he gets out of it is mm-hmm. so hilarious. Like, if he didn't know about that shopping list beforehand, like, if he didn't know Pete was going to the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
like, that's brilliant shit. Like, yeah. what he pulled out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if he knew beforehand, maybe, that they're going to pick him up and Pete's going to go to the grocery store, like, he could have been thinking of stuff beforehand. But it sounds like that he didn't even know more than, like, 10 minutes before they got there that Pete was going to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Well, and he thought up that list. Well, and it was just freaking hilarious.
Well, I do, like, Feeny did, he did always think pretty quick on his feet.
Yeah.
And it's actually weird.
Like, outside of bits.
Yeah, it's weird. I met this kid when I was at a 10-year high school reunion thing, for someone else, actually. It was weird. He was a writer for Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And
oh, really?
Yeah, in the show Ben and Kate, which...
What seasons of Always Sunny?
It was the same season as Ben and Kate. Have you heard of Ben and Kate at all?
I think I've heard of it, but I don't know like when that was.
Feeny, I think it aired 2 years ago. Feeny was the showrunner for Ben and Kate. And okay. This kid was like, oh, you know David Feeny?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, and he was amazed that I knew David Feeny, and he had no idea what Dave's of Thunder was. I told him he had to check it out. And yeah. he was like, wow, I'm shocked. David Feeney's hilarious. I had no idea. How do people even know who he is?
Like, that's the only thing he's done in like the public spectrum, like as himself. Like, yeah, he's been a writer on multiple sitcoms, but like no one knows who sitcom writers are. But like, that's like the only, like, he was never on Twitter. Like, he never like interacted with people. Like, he just went on Dave's of Thunder and wrote all these bits, wrote all these pages. And it was like, how does he not realize like the fan base he grew from his pages? Like, it was hilarious.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm sure he might be aware of it, but he probably doesn't want to, he probably doesn't want it to interfere with it, like his producing work and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like his actual job. Like,
yeah.
Doing sitcom shit. Like, he's on New Girl now, and that's like a huge show.
Yeah. And one of his scripts got, I think it's going to be a vehicle for, who was it? The Colombian lady from Modern Family, Sophia Vergara.
Oh yeah.
Her, fake Colombian. Her and Reese Witherspoon are going to. Yeah, they optioned a script that Feeny wrote.
That's an interesting duo.
Yeah, well, this might shock you, but I think they're going to be like a mismatched pair.
Oh, like one's white, but one's from Colombia.
Like, one is going to be saucy and fiery, while the other is going to be more uptight and reserved.
Okay. I don't know how Sofia Vergara is going to play uptight and reserved, but that sounds interesting.
You know, that's the magic of Hollywood.
Yeah. I know that hot and saucy Reese Witherspoon is going to tear the screen apart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's hilarious, like... 10 years ago, being a TV actor was like the death knell of your career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now so many movie people have gone to the TV, and it's like become the new medium.
Oh yeah, that Anna Faris is on Mom. Have you ever?
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
You ever seen that Mom show?
I haven't actually watched it, but I know.
Oh, it's shockingly good for a for a Chuck Lorre show.
You made all these crazy noises. You're like, ugh. It's shockingly good.
Well,
that's not what I expected.
I was making those noises because Anna Faris is alluring.
Oh, she's hot as shit. I love her.
Yeah. She's also older than you would think.
I'm going to go 36.
Well, I feel like you're saying that now because I said that, though.
Yeah, that made me round up pretty high.
Yeah, I poisoned the
well. Well, I knew she was in Scary Movie, like, 2001.
And even with that...
And she was, like, mid-20s then, so I was trying to estimate.
Yeah, even with that disclaimer, you were still off. She's 37.
What did I say, 36?
Yeah.
That's not off. That's, like, a year off.
If this was The Price is Right, someone else would have gotten it. Someone would have gotten it on the dot.
You can't get it. No. There's no way. 36 would have been... Someone else would have gone over.
I don't know. I think so.
It's closest without going over. I don't think anyone would have said 7.
Do you know? Do you know who she's married to?
Chris Pratt.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. You've won that pricing game.
I'm going to slice my throat. Give me your back. I don't. I hate celebrity gossip, but I knew that for some reason.
Wow. Yeah, you went really dark right there.
Like I said, I hate celebrity gossip. Like, knowing who people are married to is, like, the dumbest thing. It's, like, the dumbest knowledge anyone could have.
I was worried about your safety there for a second, buddy. Do you need to...
No, I was kidding.
Do you need to unload? Huel, is there anything you need to talk about
tonight? Suicide is painless.
Did you ever hear Feeney's song, There's No Shame in Suicide?
Oh, yeah, the poem that he wrote to, like, Cousin Brandon, was it?
Yeah, Cousin Brandon.
Yeah.
I'm in a fantasy baseball league with Cousin Brandon. He won it.
Oh, so you actually know him.
Not really.
In fantasy baseball terms.
Well, Cousin Brandon is actually pretty approachable. Like,
so you said you followed him, you followed Damashek on, like, Damashek on Demand and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I only knew Cousin Brandon and that poem because of Days of Thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no.
I never heard the original.
Oh, where he and Feeny threw down? Where,
I never knew what, like, stemmed that. I just heard them bring it up, and then they read the whole No Shame in Suicide poem.
Well, before that, on one of the older shows, they had a poetry slam, a poetry right. show-off. And Feeny wrote Twice She Said.
Yeah, yeah.
or the night.
She Said was so good.
Yeah.
That was so good.
And then awkwardly after that, Brandon Damashek did break up with that lady. He's married to another woman now.
That's so sad and hilarious.
Yeah. Which I don't think that's on the DL. You know, I knew Brandon because, you know.
There's no DL here.
Yeah, he would be on Dave's show, and he also had a blog where he'd write about music, and I followed that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's also in the Fantasy Baseball League, along with DOT Fan is in there. Germany or Florida is in that league.
Gorf
rips off DOT Fan with like every single trade. It's pretty great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Although I can't really comment that much about this because my team is pretty bad. So it's
yeah, I'm really bad. I'm really bad at fantasy baseball.
I suffer from a lack of attention span with it, so I'll just go through fits of activity with it. And it's a super deep league. It's a 30-team league.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so you're fighting over fifth starters. Like, if anyone starts a game, they get claimed immediately.
Yeah, like, there's no league. 30! Oh, that's awful.
And there's also, yeah, everyone's complaining about trades and this kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's where it stops becoming fun, and it's just, like, it's like work.
Yeah. Oh, the Ed is in that league as well.
Seriously, what is with that person, if we can call it that? Like, is it just someone who's like devoted to a character? Like,
Corolla let it slip once in, I think, the first year.
Like, it's obviously not real, but like, what is it really?
He let it slip that he met the Ed at an event in Vegas, I think, and he was surprised to see that it was just some white dude.
Well, he sounded white.
Yeah. No, the
Ed. That's not surprising, but.
The Ed is still plugging away, man. He still does a show once a week.
Where? Like, it's his own thing?
On Blog Talk Radio, I believe.
Ugh.
With, he's on the LCS Hockey Network.
Again, like other people, my only exposure to him was through Days of Thunder.
You are not missing much. He's doing the same exact thing, talking about the baby, feeding the baby fried chicken.
Yeah, and every time he was I would just skip to the next episode.
Yeah.
Like, on my listen-throughs, it was like, well, it's Ed time.
Mm-hmm.
Time to go to the next one.
Like, yeah.
It's just fucking terrible.
Mm. No, it's still same exact stuff.
Okay. Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
I'm missing nothing, in other words.
No, in fact, you have 60 minutes of your life each week to look forward to, because you're not listening to that.
Good. Yeah. All right, well, after Dave's, I feel like we could do a whole different episode just based on the Dave's.
Mm.
But we'll digress down the list of things. I had movies, 2013. Have you seen many 2013 movies?
Not especially. I've seen... It's actually kind of shameful. I've seen Gravity, which was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Delivery Man.
Okay.
With Vince Vaughn. That was not good.
That looked terrible.
It was pretty terrible. I was on a date, and our options were that or Frozen.
Have you gone on another date with this person?
No.
Good. It's probably for the best.
Yeah. It's an awkward thing. I don't want to air my dirty laundry like that.
Look, this is where it gets real. If you don't want to handle the haberdashery, then that's your problem.
Shit gets real on Huel's Haberdashery hangout.
Hangout hour of non-alliteration.
We're over an hour now, which is also why we should probably move our way through these topics.
It's true.
Because right now, probably only the true masochists are listening.
No, I felt like after you save this, there's a lot I can edit out.
Mm. No cheers, like boy.
The big part in the middle where I went to take a piss.
This is all gold.
And got more beer. And then that part near the beginning where we weren't sure if we were recording or not.
This is something you're going to want to hand down to your children. And your children's children and Jackie's children.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Cosmo's children.
I'll hand it to Cosmo's children. I feel like J6's child, if not children, could handle it.
Oh, well, J6's spawn is probably more manly than all of us.
Oh, yeah. That little girl could probably kick my ass.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
I mean, it's... I say this with a measure of respect. J6 reminds me of Kenny Powers. I feel like J6...
That's probably the closest to Kenny Powers we're going to get, yeah.
Yeah, J6 is the Corolla Board version of Kenny Powers.
That's a good one.
Fucking Powers.
That's like a real-life Kenny Powers, like not the cartoon version. And that's not something to be ashamed of.
No, he's...
That's something that could obviously destroy any one of us.
Yeah.
Including his, like, one-year-old daughter.
Oof, let's not go down that road, but...
No, I'm saying she could destroy any one of us.
Oh yes, that is spawn his superpowers. Yeah, that's clear.
That's what I was trying to say. Sorry if that sounded weird. No, she could probably just strangle me.
Yeah, no, I thought you were wishing ill on a child for a minute. I was like, wow, this is an uncomfortable conversation we're having.
That's not a path I want to go down.
Yeah,
I'm saying she could kick my ass.
This is a classier show. This is devoted to the finer things.
The finer things that men discuss.
Yeah. Have you discussed caviar yet?
No, that sounds disgusting.
I haven't had it either.
I don't want to eat something that's been expelled out of a fish. Like, I'll eat chicken eggs. That just seems okay. So it's been expelled out of a chicken. But if it's been expelled out of a fish... It's where I draw the line.
You're a man of principle. That's no.
I take a stance and I stick to it. One kind of eggs will pass these lips.
I respect you for that.
Good.
What else you get on that list?
Oh, after movies, 2013. I wrote, I just watched Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, well, I'm not sure if you're aware, but that came out before 2013.
It did.
It's a splendid movie.
It's non-incidental.
Yeah.
It's one of probably, if I had to make a top five, it would be on there.
Ooh, you know, it's so hard for me to make lists.
Listing is a finicky subject.
Yeah.
Just because of the Daves, but also because so many movies are good.
Yeah, I
that's a stance I've taken. Hot, so many movies are good.
Hot sports takes from Huel.
Yes. Controversial subjects from Huel Hauser.
Yes.
There are many good movies.
Yes, movies are good. And
and go. But no, I consider that a perfect movie.
I feel like when you're making lists, with movies, you do have to do genres. And I'm not sure if that
probably,
one goes comedy probably. Or horror. To me, it's comedy.
It's a horror comedy.
And maybe even romantic comedy.
I feel like good movies you can't pin down into one category. Yeah,
true. Do you have that Queen song stuck in your head?
Gonna have myself a real good time.
Oh.
That one?
Yeah, you sing like Damashek. It's golden.
That doesn't sound good at all.
I know.
Tell me I sing like Damashek.
That was the joke.
Yikes.
It's okay.
I have to end this conversation.
I don't sing either. It's okay. It's okay, buddy.
That's cool. But no, that's a good song.
Hold it back.
And a great movie.
Okay. I agree with you. It's I don't know if it's on my top five, but it's definitely in my top 100.
That's a wide range.
Well, have you ever actually sat down and tried to do your top 100 movies?
Nope.
Like people always make fun of the Entertainment Weekly list, but then when you actually try to do it yourself, like by 29, 30, you're already like, all right, well, is this appropriate for Wayne's World? I feel like I'm going to get mocked. But
I'd give Wayne's World a top 50.
I really like Wayne's World.
It's fucking good. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. Naked Gun. Where do you slot in Naked Gun?
Oh, God. Yeah, see, like, do you go for, like, the hoity-toity, this is a good movie on principle thing? Or is it, like, your favorite?
Yeah.
Like, if I did a personal favorite, it would be all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Quick, what's a better movie? Naked Gun or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Eternal Sunshine.
Compare those two movies.
Eternal Sunshine.
All right, now add in Lost in Translation.
Lost in Translation sucked.
Ooh, you didn't like that?
That movie was a piece of shit.
I liked it.
No, it was pretentious, awful, terribleness.
Yeah, but a lot of movies.
It's like, oh, I'm in Japan. It's a weird place. I find another white person also in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's crazy that we would connect with each other because we both speak English. Like, that's the whole fucking premise in the movie. It's stupid. Like, oh, great, we're both in a weird place and we're both American English speakers. Wow, we connected. What an amazing feat. Like, that's stupid. It's a dumb movie.
I kind of liked it.
That's exactly what happened.
The thing is, I have not seen it for like 5 years though, so it's also a movie that there are a lot of movies I just won't ever watch again, even if I like them.
Right.
Like I've seen Shawshank, you know, like 10 times, but
because it's fucking good. Maybe that's why.
Although to be honest, with Shawshank, I'll just watch the last hour. Like, yeah, I could
see that. You don't have to see him getting raped all the time.
Yeah, I don't need to see the first hour and a half of the movie where he's just getting raped and
where he's like depressed for 7 years and getting raped constantly.
Yeah, my favorite part to pick up after is when his when the witness dies, his buddy there.
Oh yeah, the Elvis guy.
Yeah, when young Elvis dies.
When 1962 Elvis dies, that's when you really want to start watching.
Yeah, that's when
he becomes the tax man for the other prisoners. Like the real turning point is the roof scene with the sodas.
Mm, yeah.
Or the beers. He gets beers. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the real fucking turning point.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I could actually be something here.
Yeah, I think that's when he starts to kind of put his plan into motion.
He gets the rock hammer.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah, and then he's talking with Morgan Freeman. Gotta get busy living, get busy dying. And you think he's gonna kill himself.
Yeah.
But then,
like you always said, get busy living, get busy dying.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he does not kill himself.
I didn't know if I'd see my friend Andy after that day.
See, now you have a talent for this. Of miming black voices.
If it's specifically black voices, then maybe.
Can you do a Kevin Hart?
I can only do a Kevin Hart from the Grudge Match commercials.
Oh, well.
Because that's all I've... That's my only real reference.
Kevin Hart... So when I saw Delivery Man, Kevin Hart was in 4 straight trailers.
Yeah. What the fuck happened? He exploded.
I don't know. I know Chris Tucker is very upset right now.
Chris Tucker's like, I need to chop my shins off.
Yeah, he's
become Kevin Hart.
He's watching these trailers and he's like, hey, why can't I get work?
Because he's too old.
Yeah. That was
like I went to my mom's for Christmas, like I was at my mom's house. And like she watches like ESPN like, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
But like ESPN would have commercials for Grudge Match. But they wouldn't show De Niro and they wouldn't show Stallone. It was just Kevin Hart the whole time. You wouldn't even know Stallone and De Niro were in that movie.
That seems so odd to me.
Like, how weird is that?
Yeah, because I feel
on ESPN they were trying to like get like the younger audience, and yeah. So they just put Kevin Hart in the entire commercial.
That's bizarre.
It's just weird. Like, no one gives a shit about Stallone and De Niro anymore.
Yeah, well.
And it's pretty obvious why, because they've made shitty movies for the past 10 years.
I know. Well, it's weird. The reviews for that movie have not been horrible. So.
Really?
Yeah, it got like 2.5 stars from the people filling in for Roger Ebert.
Lynn Malton.
No, not Leonard Maltin, like actual reviewers, but in Grantland, Wesley Morris, who normally hates everything, said it was okay.
I read Grantland.
You don't read it?
No.
Eh, it's okay.
Seems like pretentious bullshit.
Well, I'm a big mark for everything Bill Simmons does, so.
Can't stand that guy.
Oh, we'll see. It's your Steelers pride coming
we have
through or something.
Steelers? No. Philadelphia.
Oh, Eagles?
I hate Pittsburgh.
Big Eagles fan?
Like, it's weird how much I hate Pittsburgh, but I love Damashek. It's a fucking internal struggle.
You're like Sienna Miller. Shitsburg.
I guess. Oh, Sienna Miller, the model?
Yeah, she was doing a movie once and...
Did she say Shitsburg?
Yeah, she called it Shitsburg.
Good.
Because she hated it.
It's a piece of shit town.
Yeah, she was on the jerk list a couple times for it.
That's fine. I'll allow it.
Now you should do like the nice list.
Yeah, that would be the complete opposite of what people think Philadelphia is.
Yeah.
The nice list.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's on the nice list.
Stop punching that mic. You're not being nice to that microphone.
Am I punching it still? Shit.
You just now. It sounded like you were giving me the old 1-2.
I might have been popping my S's and my C's.
Oh, yeah, you gotta watch those popping P's.
Be a popper. P Popper Wilson.
Yeah, that's what they taught us in broadcast class, the one I took.
I need to put like a towel over my microphone, make like a fake pop screen.
Oh, yeah, a little muffler on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. But number one on the nice list is Sienna Miller.
Oh, well, that's nice. Now, see...
Yeah, it's a good introduction.
Now, see, when you do this bit in the future, you can have some music over that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe you have a favorite song?
I would need some sort of production or recording skills to pull that off.
Well, you know, it can't be that hard.
Let's not forget, on the second episode of my own podcast, I've had to have you record it.
You know, even the best toolsmith is let down by his tools. I think that's how that saying goes.
Yes, that was obviously a saying throughout.
I'm a writer.
The annals of time.
I'll allow it.
Even the best toolsmith has been let down by his tools.
Yeah, words of wisdom, really.
Dash, S. Greenwell.
I hope when I go into the ground, that's what's on my tombstone.
I want to have a dash next to my name. That was a Mitch Hedberg bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mitch Hedberg had the, like, my lifelong dream is to have a dash next to my name under a quote. it's just one of his insane lines.
It probably has happened because he's...
Well, it's had to have happened now.
Yeah, he is very quotable.
He was like, that's one of my dreams. Just have a dash.
Yeah.
He was fucking great.
I got myself business cards. They say, Mitch Hedberg, potential lunch winner.
Yeah, like every... It was just fucking gold every time.
Yeah. Him and...
A very sad departure.
Oh, yeah. Well, he and Stephen Wright are probably the two comics I can always listen to. I don't skip them when they come up on my iTunes.
Yeah.
Although, Stephen, do you listen to... Have you heard Stephen Wright at all?
Not, like, his, like, comic albums or anything, but, like, I've heard a few performances by
him.
Well,
he basically only has one, and it's from, like, 1970.
Okay.
It's from, like,
I should find it, then.
It still holds up, because it's just all, like, Mitch Hedberg one-liners for 45 minutes, and it's called I Have a Pony.
Nice.
By Stephen Wright.
I have to get that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, so you don't have to pay money for it.
Good.
Yeah.
Money's bad.
Mm. Fresh take. All right, is there anything else on your list? We're almost near 2 hours.
Yeah, I feel recording. Like this is the time we should probably stop.
Do you have a little outro music?
I've had no music.
Do you have a saying that you want to end the show on?
I ended the show with something before.
This is your chance to get a dash by your name.
Keep on reaching for the stars, dash Huelhauser.
And I'm going to stop it.
Is that where you stop the recording?
Let me click off. Let me make sure I did this correct. All right.